Well, I used to be more of a reader than I am these days. I'll confess that I have found my time listening to podcasts, reading some stuff on the internet. Also, having kids takes up some time that you can't get to books quite like you used to. But there is nothing like a good book to read when you get involved, especially if it's a fiction and a series. There's nothing like it when you can kind of get yourself into the frame of reference for that book, that series, and you are just excited to see what comes page after page. Now, there's a little bit of a catch, right, when you're reading a book or flipping through on a Kindle or whatever you might have these days, is that the closer you get to the end of the book, the more you might get upset, or sad, rather, that the end is coming. There are some books that have a single story, there are some books in a series, but most of the time we read a book and we find our way flipping through the pages or clicking or tapping, and we find ourselves wandering our way to the end of the story, and there's this sense that the end is coming, and we find ourselves wondering and wishing perhaps that there was something else to come. But for many times, the story, when we get to the last page, it's the end. There's no more. And how often have you found yourself reading a book or watching a movie, perhaps even, and you wish it wasn't the end, but you wish it was to be continued? Now, sometimes you get to the end of the book, and you're like, oof, or a movie, and you're like, glad that's over. And then they're like, to be continued, and you're like, no! Because for all of us type A literature readers out there, like, we know we've got to go read part two if it's going to come out there. Can I get a confession? Amen? Yeah? Okay, we've got a few of you out there. Well, in the good days, there are a continuation of the stories. There isn't just the end, it's to be continued. Sometimes it's, of course, true that there is an end and we don't see a continuation coming. It depends on the book, it depends on the style, it depends on the story. Now, there's some stories that we are sad when they come to an end. There are some stories when we're glad when they come to an end. And what's true about a book is also true about the journeys of life. There are moments in life where we are glad when some things come to an end, but it's also sad when some things come to an end. And there's times in life where we hear the end and we really wish it's a to be continued. Now, there are seasons and chapters of life where we recognize an end is a good thing, but there's also times where we're confronted with an end and it's a frustration. There's a sense of loss. There's a sense of wishing that the future would hold something else that it doesn't seem to be having in the off chance as the next step. And the reality is we find ourselves faced with this and we wonder, what do we do? How do we make our way forward in a moment where we wish it was a to be continued and it feels like it's really the end? Now, this experience that we have where we find ourselves confronted in a moment like this is one that our person in the scriptures being highlighted today, Peter, finds himself in a similar place. He found himself in the midst of a story where he thought it was the end when it was actually to be continued. Now, this is true of a lot of the people in the scriptures, that they find themselves in a journey that they assume is ending, and there's a next chapter for them. But Peter, of all people, really would have felt this and really would have experienced this. And the fact that there was a to be continued for him was a gift that he did not see coming. And the fact that there was a to be continued for Peter reminds us that there's a to be continued for all of us that can be had in our lives with God. Now, this moment that we find ourselves in exploring with Peter, these two particular moments come in this journey that Peter had been on with Jesus and all of the disciples. Peter was supposed to be the leader of the group. He was the one that Jesus was counting on. There were 12 disciples, but Jesus had an even smaller group that he had leaned on in the most particular and the most special moments. That was Peter, James, his brother, and then the one that is known as the one he loved, John. Those three experienced the best of what Jesus had to offer all the time. And at one moment, Peter is responding to Jesus, and Jesus is talking with all of them, and Peter proclaims in front of all of them, unbeknownst to Jesus that he knew this apparently, that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus said to Peter, well, this is amazing that you know this, because this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood, rather by God above. And he looks at him and goes, no longer will you be known as Simon, but you'll be known as Peter. You're going to be the rock, which is what Peter means, the rock on which I build my people. Now, Peter, I think, apparently lets this go to his head, because he goes, well, this is great. not only do I get this little pump up from Jesus, but also I now see that there is not an end in sight, but it is going to be a to be continued for me. I'm going to get to sit at Jesus' right hand when he comes into power, and I'm going to get to rule and lord at all these jamokes that I've been with, and you know, this is going to be great. So later on, Peter continues to perhaps present himself in this leadership role that he finds himself in. And at one point, especially towards the end of the journey for Jesus, they find themselves in the upper room embracing the Last Supper. They didn't know it was the Last Supper, but they find themselves engaging that. And Jesus goes and he tries to wash the disciples' feet, and he gets to Peter, and Peter says, "No, no, Jesus, you can't wash my feet. I'm not worthy of this. You're too good for me." And Jesus says to Peter, "If I don't wash you, you will have no part in me." I think that rock started to crumble a little bit. And he says, "Well, if you're gonna wash my feet, you better wash all of me, my head, my hands, and just get it over with, because if some is good, all is better." And he goes, "Peter, it doesn't work like that. Let me wash your feet." And the rock crumbles a little more. Now, Peter gets high and mighty after this. You would think in that moment, by the way, parenthetically, like if you get knocked down a step like that you'd probably like cool it for the rest of dinner. I know I try that. Like if I'm ever in a social situation where it's like somebody gives me a little zinger that I deserve, I like try to back off. Like some of you are like, "No, you don't." Some of you are like, "I've seen that, at least him try, you know." And so later on in the supper, Jesus goes into explaining that Judas is the one who will betray him, and Peter goes, "Well, glad it's not me." And Jesus responds to him, "Well, Peter, it's not like you're going to get off the hook. Because before the sun rises, before the rooster crows, you are going to deny me three times." The rock just crumbled a whole lot more. And as John and all the Gospels go on to report, Peter does exactly that. Right after they had that meal, they would go out and Jesus would be arrested. In the middle of the night, Jesus was arrested, he was tried, he was convicted. And before the sun rose, Peter had three opportunities to stand up for Jesus. Stand up for himself, stand up for the men he was with, the women too. And instead, he denies Jesus three times. And according to John, right after the third one, the cock crows three times. If Peter were writing his own story, that would be the end. The good news is that Peter's not writing his own story. God's writing Peter's story. God is writing Peter's story, and it's not a the end, it's a to be continued. Now, it's a to be continued for all of them and for all of us, but Peter and all the disciples in that moment, they would have thought it was all over. Not only would Peter have thought his story was over, all the disciples would have thought their story was over to some degree. The one who they had been following had just been arrested and later on was killed. And most of the time, you know, dead people stayed dead, and so they thought it was the end. But then they found out it was actually to be continued. So later on, Jesus, this is like getting, you know, you got to remember Easter's coming, right, for them, and Easter's coming for us. So later on, after Jesus is raised from the dead, he appears to the disciples, and he has breakfast with them on the shore. It's one of the most famous meals, I think, of history. There's a charcoal fire, and there's some fish and some bread, and they eat together. And they don't wonder who it is. They don't ask, "Are you who we think you are?" Because it says in the scriptures that they know who it was. And it's like Jesus set this whole thing up so Peter could find his way to the to be continued. And he turns and he looks at Peter. And as we heard, he asks him, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, I love you. Well, feed my sheep." Jesus asks him again. It's as if like Jesus knew this was going to happen. He says, "Do you love me?" And he says, "Yes, of course. Well, tend my sheep," Jesus says. He asks him one more time, just to prove the point, I guess. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" And like it says in the scriptures, Peter had a reaction at that point. He got it. Repetition is the mother of all knowledge. Jesus asks you once, you should say yes. Jesus asks you a second time, you should say yes. Jesus asks you a third time. It's like when your mama says something to you a third time, you know you're in trouble. Jesus asks him a third time, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, I love you." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." The rock that was Peter had crumbled. He thought it was the end. But Jesus says, "No way. It's a to be continued." Jesus denied Peter. Peter denied Jesus, rather, three times. And three times, Jesus brings him back to experience the to be continued, the gift that Jesus brought for Peter. Peter thought his story was over, but it wasn't. Peter presumed that Jesus would have moved on from him to another disciple. You know, if you're part of a trio that Jesus invested in, and you've denied him, you've undercut his teachings, you've run away, you've gone back to fishing, you've done all these things, and the other two are your brother and the one known as the one he loves, you would think that you're out and they're in. But rather, Jesus does something amazing. He restores Peter. And he sends a message to Peter, and he sends a message to all of us that God is going to restore us no matter how many times we might try to deny Jesus. God is not going to leave us in the midst of our denials. God is going to restore us in the midst of what God is doing with us and for us. And that's something that we need to can cling to deeply and dearly in our lives. That's something that can help us and remind us that it's a glimpse of what God is doing at all times, but especially what God is doing through Easter and through Holy Week. God is reminding us that there is nowhere that we can wander. There's no denial too big, no sin too large that is going to separate us from God's love, and there's nothing that God is going to do that's going to keep us on the outside. God doesn't give any of us the end for our story. God gives us each a to be continued. And that's the gift that God gives to us in Jesus. And that's the gift that we claim and celebrate for ourselves. So when we find our way into this story, when we find our way into the celebration of Holy Week, when we find ourselves in 2 weeks' time at Easter, this is what we're reminding ourselves of. And this is what we're sharing. And this is what we're proclaiming. That is not a the end for us or anyone. It's a to be continued because of God's grace. So in these weeks to come, I hope that this can resonate in our hearts and our minds. I hope that there may be someone here today who needed to be reminded of the fact that it's not a the end, but it's a to be continued. And that's what God's grace is about in our lives. Maybe it's something that is a refresher for all of us. It's one of those things that, you know, you remember, you know, and you remember, sometimes you forget, and you're like, "Oh yeah, I used to know that." But maybe there's going to be a person in your life that you need to hold on to this belief for so that they can come to it later. Maybe there's someone in your life that is having trouble holding on to this or won't hold on to it at all, and you can be the person who holds it in place for them so when they're ready for it, you can remind them of God's love. There's a lot of people in our lives that find themselves in that place. That's one of the things that we do and as people of faith is sometimes we hold the faith for someone when they're not ready for it or they put it aside so that when they're ready for it, they can take it back. And maybe there's someone in your life, maybe this week or in the week to come when you gather around table for Easter celebrations or another kind of gathering, you're going to be ready to remind them that even though they think it was the end for them, with God, it's always a to be continued. God always has a to be continued for all of us. And maybe you can give them a glimpse of what God did with Peter. Maybe you can remind them quietly, consistently, that God loves them and God has not left them. Maybe you can find a way to share with them the hope that we all have in Jesus Christ, that life might be filled with the ends, but God's love does not. God's love is filled with a to be continued for all of us. And let us cling to that hope now and always. Amen.